Aren't you glad that the Bible never is outdated? You realize when God inspired men to write the Bible, he knew full well what every generation would face. And for years, you look at verse 33. Look at verse 33. For years, people would read this. I'm talking about when I was growing up, preachers would read this, and they felt like that they had to stop and explain the word communications. Now it's perfect. You know, it's almost like the Lord knew. But the Bible says here, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, I don't know if that may be a theme verse for all of us as we look at technology and the use of our lives. Say, preacher, is it all bad? No, it's not all bad. You can use it for good. But let me just say this. I think we'd all agree with this, that there's been probably much more evil done through technology than there has been good. But at the same time, you know what? If you use it in the right way, it can be used for the glory of God. Like I said, folks, that's one of the things I'll say again this morning. But it'll be a good day in your life when you pick up your phone and look at it and say, this is a tool, not a toy. And, you know, a tool can be used for good things. When it becomes a toy in your life, then you ought to probably take a look at whether or not you ought to be spending that much time with it. I'm going to give you some real, I'm going to teach this morning on Bible guidelines for technology use. Bible guidelines for technology use. And so I'm just going to give you 10 guidelines that I think will help you. It'll help you also with your own interaction with technology. And it'll also help you, I think, as far as guiding your children and your young people in this matter of their usage of it and and building safeguards into their lives. Let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fact, Lord, that there is nothing that surprises you. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, to be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. And Lord, help us to understand, dear God, the devil is very good at what he does. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use these Bible guidelines to help us, Lord, to be able to protect ourselves, protect our family, dear God, for the potential evil that, Lord, is available through technology. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm excited. I'm excited to be able to teach this to you. Bible guidelines for technology use. I'm going to give you 10 things today that I think are safeguards. I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list, but I want to start by saying this. I've had a handful of divorces happen under my watch here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I wish I could stand up here and say the 12 and a half, 13 years that I've pastored here, we have never suffered a divorce in our congregation. And I do want to say this. I hear sometimes a preacher say, you know what, well, there's a 50% divorce rate out there, and it's the same in the church. Let me just say this. It's not the same in the church. Sometimes they'll say, well, it's no difference between lost people and Christians. It's the same percentage. Not in church-going Christians. If that was true, then over the last 12 years, 50% of our congregation would have been divorced. And that hasn't happened. It's been about 6%, 6-7%. By the way, I wish it was zero. And you know, folks, because nobody ever wins in a divorce. Nobody ever wins. It hurts everybody. And the people that are encourage me the most to speak up about this are the people that have had to have their lives wrecked by it. Okay? I say, preacher, you feel uncomfortable saying that, having known there's people in the church that's gone through it? No, they're the ones that are the most encouraged. Say, preacher, please, you know, warn young couples. But I want to say this. In every single case, technology was used as of the devil to help destroy that marriage. Okay? I said this last week, too. I've watched young people grow up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I've seen them go on to live good lives and spiritual lives and productive lives and lives that please the Lord. I've watched young people grow up at this church and just crash and burn. The ones that didn't make it, if they would have followed the 10 guidelines that I'm going to give this morning, they'd probably be fine. But they got something in their hand that they decided that they would just play around with, that they didn't want mom and dad to know what's going on with it. They begin to do some things in secret on there. And folks, evil communications do corrupt good manners. Notice what the first part of that verse says. Be not deceived. You say, boy, the devil can deceive us. Well, he can, but usually he has to get in line. Because let me tell you who deceives us more than anybody. Ourselves. The Bible warns us of self-deception, of the danger of deceiving ourselves. And if you think that you can just walk around with a smartphone with no accountability and no safeguards and no plan, and you're not going to have that thing corrupt your life, you're kidding yourself. Okay? I tell folks this, listen to me, if you hand, and it's a reminder to all of us, not just our teenagers, husbands, wives, listen. You hand a teenager a smartphone, you've handed them a tool that allows them, scorners, enticers, backsliders, perverts, all of a sudden they've got easy access to your kids. You just handed them a porno store. You just handed them a rock and roll jukebox. No. Because jukebox, anybody know what a jukebox is? A jukebox could only hold a couple hundred records. This thing can hold millions. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it. The potential for bad, the potential for evil, the potential for spiritual harm is huge in that little device that you carry around. So if you don't build safeguards and you just start, well, you know, listen, did you know it can do this? No, and I don't want to know. Do you know you could use your phone? Well, that's good, but I won't. Okay? I know what I'm willing to use my phone for, and I know what I will not use my phone for. I know what I'm willing to use the internet for, and I know what I will not use the internet for. Okay? And just because something can do something doesn't mean that a Christian should be doing it on there. And so I'm going to give you what I hope is real helpful guidelines. We're going to go through it real quick. And I pray that the Lord will just kind of guide you in your usage of this, of these things. Number one, there should be complete transparency between husbands and wives when it comes to technology. Now, when I say complete transparency, I mean 100% transparency, okay? I've got a password on my phone. My wife knows what the password is. This new phone I've got, it doesn't just have a password. When I first got it and opened it, it kept wanting me to put my thumb on the button because it was learning my thumbprint, which is just disturbing to me. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Brother Mike, it's good to see you here. Anytime you want to join in, you just go ahead there. And I'm kidding. I don't want you to join in. I'm kidding. I know, but I can't have you having a conversation with me, okay? But, you know, I had a guy tell me the other day, I don't know much about him because I on purpose don't. But now I know that instead of passing in my password, I can put my thumbprint on it. Well, I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, you can have your wife put her thumbprint on it too. Well, I haven't done that yet, probably because I can't figure out how. But she knows my password. Listen, nothing's passworded where my wife doesn't know it. And she doesn't have anything that I don't have the password to. Okay? There's no second phone. There's no secret phone. All right? There's 100%. Listen, my wife pick up my phone anytime she wants to and look at anything she wants to. And I don't do this. Oh, what are you doing? What are you looking at? It's none of your business. Listen, if that's your reaction, there's probably a reason. All right, if you're bothered if your spouse touches your phone, that puts red flags in my mind. Right. Well, she ought to just trust me. Well, you ought, if you're trustworthy, you shouldn't care. Why do you have a problem? Okay, why do you have to have that computer program password? Okay, why is it that when your wife walks in, you're switching screens? And what I'm saying is, you better stop deceiving yourself. Listen. If some of you don't listen to me, in a year you're going to be divorced. And right now, God's given this lesson to save your marriage. Okay? So complete 100% transparency between husbands and wives when it comes to any and all technology, 100%. Number two, I got to hurry. There should be complete accountability between young people and their parents when it comes to technology. 100% accountability. The minute that any of your young people has a phone and you find out that they are not being transparent and are not accountable and are hiding anything, they should never have access to another thing until they leave your home. Okay? If they can't agree to that, then they are not mature enough to have it. Okay? And so if you've got a young person, again, that wants to password their phone, or they get upset if you pick it up and look at it, then you got a problem. And you know, listen, I'm going to try to once again empower some Christian people in here. I don't care how old your kid is. If they live in your house, they should live by your rules. Period. Well, they're 29. Well, first of all, maybe they ought to go get a job and get their own house, okay? But if they're 20, I don't care if they're 59, they live in my house. That would, I'm only 56, so that would. But if they were, then you know what? They'd live by my, well, if you don't, I'm an adult, then go be an adult somewhere else. Okay? And so, anyway. But complete accountability between young people and their parents when it comes to technology. Secret nothing, secret nothing. Number three, there should be no secret anything on any device owned by a Christian husband, wife, or teenager. Now, let me get a kind of sound of warning here a little bit. No Christian ought to have Snapchat. No born-again Christian ought to have Snapchat. If you've got Snapchat, you ought to delete it, get it off your phone immediately. You say, preacher, what in the world is Snapchat? Well, Snapchat is basically a texting device that allows you to text or send images, and you can set it between 1 second and 10 seconds as far as how long it will appear on the person's phone that you're sending it to. And then it disappears off that phone. Okay, now please explain to me why in the world you're wanting things to disappear that you're sending other people. Okay, now what I'm saying is this, and you would be surprised. I'm running into this, talking to young youth pastors all across America. This is being going on in their youth groups. It's on their phones. Christian parents are either oblivious or they're out of their mind. But nobody should have something like that. You shouldn't have any program that hides anything or makes anything disappear. And by the way, you better check into Snapchat. Because some of that stuff you've been sent that you think disappeared, they're being sued now, lawsuits, because that stuff really doesn't disappear. Okay? So you better think about what you've been sending. By the way, be not deceived. God is not mocked. I think the Bible still says, be sure your sins will find you out. You know, anything in the world, see, this younger generation has decided they are so much smarter than God because they have a smartphone. But isn't it interesting how God still can bring everything to light? God says that which is done in the shadows be shattered on the rooftop. And you know what? You can apparently or think you're getting away with stuff for a while. The devil's deceiving you. The Lord will bring it to light. What you better do is just be transparent. I mentioned this to our young adults, so let me go ahead and tell you. I mean, this is what's going on, folks. Just give you a wake-up call. I was down with John Ross in Alabama. And we were talking about the technology and some of the things that he's battling in his youth group. And he's got a good church, good core group of kids. But some of this stuff is just, well, folks, it's diabolical. Every smartphone has a computer button, a little app. Is that what it's called, an app? And I am so tech savvy. And it's got a calculator. I mean, they come with it. They come with it. It's there, you know, and you push it. And guess what? It's a calculator. And you do your calculations, right? But now they've developed an app that looks like a calculator button. Are you listening to me? And you delete your real calculator button and you put this one on instead. And when you push it, guess what it does? It's a calculator, a working calculator. But if you program a certain series of numbers that you can type in, then all of a sudden it opens up hidden files where you can put files, you can put videos, you can put pictures, you can put movies, you can have a hidden life. Now, again, someone want to explain to me why anybody would develop that app and sell it? What? Give me a good reason. Now, what ticks me off is I read online the marketing of this, and of course, they do not market this. Hey, teenagers, you can hide stuff from your parents. Or, hey, husband, you can be an infidel and an adulterer and hide it from your wife. They don't do that. They try to package it as if it's for business people, that if somebody steals your phone and there's certain files that you don't want them to, you know, I'm sorry, that's not what it's being used for the most part. And what I'm saying is, if we have to hide, let me read Jeremiah chapter 23. Here's what God says. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? There shouldn't be hidden anything going on as far as on your phone, secret files, on your computer, secret anything, okay? And the technology's there. If you've got a husband that knows more, what's going off? What's ringing? Technology? All right. You either don't have your hearing aid up. No, it's not the older people. They don't have that stuff. Computer files. If you as a husband know more about your computer than your wife does, you as a wife know more about computer than your, you know what the honest truth is, anybody, and young people, they know more about it than most of us. And again, there should be no secret anything on any device owned by any husband, wife, or teenager. Well, these first three things, folks, are just about transparency. Just about transparency. Number four, there should be no ongoing communication between a husband and any other woman outside of his wife and his family. There should be no ongoing communication between a husband and any other woman outside of his wife and his family, which of course you know what number five is going to be. There should be no ongoing communication between a wife and any other man outside of her husband and her family. When you say husband and family, okay, I mean, you know what? My wife and my family, which means here's the women that I am in ongoing communication with. My wife, my three daughters, my mother, when she has her phone on, if she ever answers it or notices it. And Bev Whittington, yeah, Bev. And that's it. And my sister, every once in a while, my sister. Think of who else. None of my sister, not my sister-in-law. No. Nothing to do with her. I could tell you stories, but that's it. Okay. Listen. Well, you don't think you can have friends? You mean you think I should have like girl friends? You think I should? It's okay for a preacher to have girlfriends? Well, I don't mean girlfriends. I mean, I know you mean girl friends. No. I'm reading articles from millennials. You just don't understand us. We're just different. We communicate different. Okay, this is the excuse. Yeah, and your divorce rate's higher than ours. None. Zero. All right, no ongoing. Ongoing means ongoing, okay? Just tell you a great way to handle that situation, you know? I mean, you know, I had to check on Kara and Abigail this morning, see whether or not we were going to get baptized today or we were going to wait, whatever. So when I sent Abigail, and by the way, I don't have Abigail's number. You know what I had to do? I had to say, wife, do you have Abigail's number? I got to know whether they're going to be baptized. I've got Ryan's number. Because we've got important things that we need to talk about sometimes. And then when I send Abigail a text, I send Abigail and Ryan, I send it to both of them. What are you doing? I'm trying to save your marriage. That's what I'm doing. Okay. I sent Ryan and Kara. Did you guys get it together, right? Okay. So what are you doing? Listen, folks, you know, let not your good be evil spoken of. Okay, I don't want to avoid even the appearance of evil. Now, these are good people, and I probably could have done it the other way, and they wouldn't have thought a thing about it. But you know what? I'm just going to stay in a habit of life that protects me and protects my wife and protects our marriage, and don't let the devil get a door in anywhere. Are you thinking about it? And so what I'm saying is, you know, no ongoing. Okay, now I'm pleading with you. Well, preacher, there's an exception here, and it's not a big deal. If you'll make an exception there, then you'll make an exception somewhere else. And by the way, what may not seem to be a big deal right now in 6 months can be a big deal. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Okay? You keep playing around with stuff. Well, by the way, why are you having regular ongoing conversations with some other woman anyway? But it's work-related. Then keep it at work. Then keep it at work. Or you could even do this. I mean, if I was a lady and I was working and I had to have ongoing conversations with a guy through technology, I would just say, I know that you're going to think I'm weird, but every communication that you send me, you need to add my husband to tag it on there. Well, what are they going to think at work? They might think you're a Christian. By the way, they might have a lot of respect for you for being a lady. They may have just heard a very loud, hey, if you had any ideas, just so you know, I love my wife and I'm faithful to her. I love my husband. I'm faithful to him. Now, listen, ignore me if you want to. I know I don't get your younger group. But when you're in my office crying your eyes out, and you're in the middle, because I'm the one that usually am there trying to do damage control, I will not say, I told you so. So I'm going to say it now. I told you so. Amen. Don't mess with fire. Don't mess with those types of things. Just be 100% transparent, and don't be having any ongoing communication between a husband and wife. I've got to hurry. Number 6, computers and phones should be used in common living areas of the house. Okay, no, none of your kids ought to have a computer that has internet access in their bedrooms. None of your kids ought to have a television that has satellite on there. None of your kids ought to have any type of gaming device that they can hook up to the internet on the internet in their bedrooms. If they can game in their bedrooms, they can talk in their bedrooms with other people, other places. The computer that we have at home is in our living room area. Okay, it's there. If I sit down at it, Cheryl's in the same area. If she sits down at it, she's in the same area, or I'm in the same area. Let me just tell you something. And you know, you say you're fanatical. Okay, but I'm happily married and have been for 30, going on 34 years. How you doing? All right. I was at Cedar River Baptist Camp years ago when Dave Smith was running up there in Iowa, and I walked into his secretary's office. Well, right in there, right in the main door, I said the secretary's office is a desk when you first walk in, and then her desk is back there, and she had a computer there, and she had a desk here, but the computer wasn't here. It was back against the wall, and it was facing this way, and I happened to walk into Brother Dave's office, and he had the same thing. He had his desk here, but his computer, he turned around and faced it this way. What I'm saying is this. Every single place where you walked in an office where there was a computer, as soon as I walked in the door, you could see the computer screen. If you walk in my office right now, I could put my computer where you can't see it. I've got a desk that wraps around like this. The door's over here. If you've been in my office, my computer sits here. Anytime anybody walks by the hallway, am I right, Brother Roger? The preacher is sitting there, and whatever I'm doing on my computer, if my wife walks in the door, if anybody walks by, if somebody knocks, and by the way, I don't have to do this. Just a minute. You know why? Because there's certain guidelines in my life. What I will use that thing for, what I will not use it for, what I will use a phone for, what I will not use it for. Okay, tell me you're not watching movies on your technology. But it's neat, and you can. Well, you can do a lot of things. But if you get in the habit of doing that, please tell me, how many of those movies are you going to watch before you run out of decent stuff to watch? And when are you going to start allowing yourselves to start watching things that you should not be watching? you know, there's a place, if you know, if you've got to watch a movie, then sit down with your wife and do it. Again, I'm talking about transparency. Okay? Be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. We just start opening little doors that seem harmless, and the next thing you know, the devil's getting in. Now, that means that, you know what? Every once in a while, I will tell you this, every once in a while I'll get a call, and because I'm a pastor and because who I'm talking to, I step out on the porch because there are some things that I have to deal with the pastor that I don't need my wife hearing. Okay, and I understand there's rare exceptions, but every time you get a phone call, you've got to leave the room, or your kids have to leave the room. Why can't they sit right there and talk in front of you? Why not? Why are they locked up in their room with their technology all the time? What's going on? Why do they have to do everything in secret? So be real careful and just say, you know what, if we're going to use the computer, we use it right here. If you want to use your phone, you sit in here and use it. Commonwealth Baptist College, these are college-age kids. Tell me if they've changed this. I don't know. I guess not. College-age kids. College-age adult kids. And when it's time to go curfew, to go in the dorms, they all go over to their mailbox, unlock their mailbox, put their cell phone in it, lock it, and then go to their room. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Oh, I don't know. Is it? How many kids crash and burn because they're up in the middle of the night? Evil communication corrupt good manners. You know, so why not, if they'll do that when the kids are college age, whether you agree with that or not, if you have given your kid a phone, why in the world would you let him take it to his room? Why do they need it in the room? I could ask you, why do they need it in the first place? But certainly, why do they need it in their room? Well, because all their friends. All right, think about it. Number 7, protect yourself and your family from people who are fools, scorners, enticers, and backsliders. Now, this is one of the greatest problems with technology is because of the access that people now have to you. Okay? What's the Bible say? Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be. Okay, inspired word, shall be. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. And we'll hang eternity on the fact that that shall be is a shall be. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. Shall be. Just like eternity, God promised it. He's not going to. Shall be destroyed. Now, that means that the devil knows how to destroy our young people. If he can get them in the companionship, in the company of fools, then they're going to be destroyed. Now, again, folks, listen to me. Let me first of all deal with us as adults. Who are you communicating with right now? I'm going to let the Holy Spirit, you deal with this, okay? So, but let's deal with it. Who right now are you communicating with on a regular, ongoing basis on one of your devices? Who are you communicating with? Do you know what a fool is? Have you studied what a fool is in the book of Proverbs? Could you recognize foolish tendencies and foolish traits and foolish characteristics? If not, you can go back and buy The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, and it'll educate you as far as what a fool says and how a fool acts. And the minute you start seeing consistent behavior pattern that identifies somebody as a fool, you ought to get as far away from them as possible. Okay, scorners. How about Psalms 1:1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat and texteth scorners. Do you know what an ungodly person is? Way of sinners. Do you know what a scorner is? Do you know how a scorner talks? Could you properly identify a scorner as they're described in the book of Proverbs? Do you know their character traits? Do you know what they say? Do you know how to identify a scorner? Do you even know what a scorner is? If not, you could be on the phone right now breaking Psalms 1:1 and losing the blessing of God upon your life. Now, listen to me. The one thing about technology is this. All of a sudden, it's now possible for a lot more people to have influence on us than used to be able to have influence on us. Okay? And if we don't police that very carefully, then next thing you know, we're in the companionship of fools. We're on an ongoing basis talking to scorners and ungodly and people and sinners. And you know what? We're losing the blessing of God upon our lives. I mean, folks, you give a kid a phone and they're just randomly on there talking to anybody and everywhere. Why don't you just drop them? Why didn't, when they were growing up, why didn't you just drop them off at the mall and let them become a mall rat and run around there for 4 hours just talking to anybody they want to? Well, we as a Christian would never do that. But you're handing them the phone and with no accountability and you don't know who they're talking to. I mean, listen, you still have a right as a parent to say, delete that number. No communication with that person, period. And if they're not willing to do that, then they're not mature enough to have the device. There's a lot of people, let me just say this because I don't know how else to say it. There's people in this community that hate Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They don't hate Blessed Hope Baptist Church because this is a bad place, a wicked place, an evil place. They hate Blessed Hope Baptist Church because we stand for this book right here. And they hate any place that preaches the book because the book points out their wicked lifestyle. So it's easier just to hate us than it is to be honest enough to say they hate the Bible and they hate God and God should have no place in their life. Listen, who are you talking to right now that constantly doesn't attend this church but constantly makes snide comments to you about where you go to church? Who are you talking to right now that feels like that they have the power and they have the freedom to communicate criticism of the other members or the pastor or the staff here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Who are you talking to? That is going to have an effect on your life. But they're not bad people. If they're scorners, they're bad people. If they're backslidden, they're bad people. And they will corrupt your good manners. They're going to have an influence on you. Okay? Somebody left this church and they're bitter against this church and they're critical of this church. Why are you on their Facebook page? Why are you friends with them? Okay? All right, let me tell you what'll start happening. If we could see this. All of a sudden, you used to sit near the front, then you start moving halfway. Then you start moving back. You used to sit up here and smile and go like this, and now you just kind of sit up there and do this while I'm preaching. And I haven't done anything to you. I haven't said anything mean to you on Facebook because I'm not on Facebook. But somebody's poisoning your spirit. Somebody's getting to you. Somebody's trying to convince you that you're in a place you shouldn't be in. You see, folks, listen to me. I've always said this. Somebody wanted to decide they want to go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, whatever. You know, then okay. But if you're going to leave Blessed Hope Baptist Church, then you want to spend a good portion of your life doing nothing but attacking the place, and some of these people attacking the very place where they got saved, they'd be going to hell if it wasn't for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me just say it plain. But instead of having an appreciative spirit towards the place where they found Jesus, because they want to live a wicked life, all of a sudden we're bad people. So you know what? I have no communication. I have no ongoing communication. Listen, anybody criticizes my church or my staff or somebody in my church, they get blown up. I drop a verbal nuclear bomb on them. And they never feel comfortable or the freedom to ever do it again. Okay. I'm trying to keep some of you in a good church. You're going to be out of church or in some backslidden church because you won't cut ties with backsliders. Okay, I got to hurry. So number seven, number eight, any communication that is suggestive or borderline should be shared with your spouse or your parents. Listen, ladies, if you get a communication from a man and it's, then you probably ought to say, you know, this probably means nothing, honey, but I want you to see this. And then probably the husband ought to say, hey, you know, from now on, if you need to let my wife know anything, why don't you text me? Well, that might make him mad. Why would it make him mad? Why would it make him mad? You got to train your kids. If somebody sends you something and it's off color or suggestive or anything that's wrong, then they ought to walk into mom and dad and say, you need to see what so-and-so sent me. Okay? And if you're not willing to do that, then you're going to open yourselves up to some things. I'll give you the last two. Number nine, guard against technology monopolizing your life. Technology is a great servant, but a horrific master. And I got to get up and do my cell phone speech every once in a while. So I'll do it now. Okay? I didn't bring mine with me. I usually have it the day I'm going to do it. I usually live in the office. I'll pull out of my pocket and say, folks, let me tell you what this is. Everybody look right up here. Let me tell you what this is. This is a portable answering machine. That's what this is, a portable answering machine, which means 9 out of 10 times if you call it, you're going to have to leave a message. Okay? If you refuse to leave a message, I refuse to call you back. Tell me what you want so I can think about it and give you the right answer. If you're going to get offended because pastor's screening your calls, let me say, first of all, yes, I am. Okay, I screen everybody's calls by doing this, ignoring them. Okay, are you got that? Okay, so about once every hour or two, I'll stop what I'm doing and I'll check my phone and I'll catch up with everybody. Sometimes I'm in a situation where I can't answer the phone. And if I can, I will. If I can't, I won't. I'm not going to interrupt a conversation to do it. I'm not going to stop eating dinner to do it. Okay, I've had people come to my office, ask for counseling. In my office. Come in my office. They ask for the appointment for counseling. And in 30 minutes want to answer their phone 3 or 4 times. They answer it once. When they get done with the once, I look at them and say, okay, now you've got a choice. You can turn your phone off or we can end the counseling session. Amen. But that's called being rude. It's rude to be in a conversation with somebody and go, oh, just a minute. I told people, I'm gonna invent it. I need a Bible that vibrates. A Bible that rings or vibrates. Because the average Christian, if your Bible would just go, zzz, you grab it. You are a trained monkey. You're like the little, you know, mice that they ring the bell and they know the cheese is coming. Technology is your master. Don't be mad at me because it's not going to be my master. It's not going to be my master. So if you want preacher on demand, you're going to have to go find a church where you can get one. But you don't get preacher on demand here. And by the way, when I call you, I don't expect you on demand either. You know what I'll do? I'll leave you a message. Or if I got a question, I'll text you the question. That way you can think about it and give me a good proper answer when it's convenient for you. It's called being courteous and respectful of each other's time. Okay? Now, all of you get that in your mind and heart. All of you start treating technology that way. Stop letting it run your life. Stop being rude with it. Okay. It is rude. It is rude. I was went out to eat. Dave Simpson preached in chapel the other day. I said afterwards, hey, let's run up to Subway. I'll buy you a sandwich. We sat down in there. I had almost always my phone is on vibrate. It's the first phone I had, I never did even know what the ringer sounded like because I never turned the ringer on, ever. Second phone, I turned it on every once in a while. I was expecting a call from a lady about insurance. I had to give her an answer today. on something we were working with. I turned the ringer on so I wouldn't miss the phone, stuck it in my back pocket, went out to eat, and it rang while we were eating. And I reached back and I pulled it out and I turned it off. I didn't even look to see who called. And Brother Dave Simpson said, "You can take that if you want." And I said, "Absolutely not. Forgive me, I shouldn't have had the ringer on." What were we saying? That man's worthy. Listen, we don't get together very often. We're sitting there, we're eating, we're having a conversation. You know, be respectful of those things. Okay? Number 10, use technology as a tool, not a toy, and I already said that. Now, it's not going to go away. And everybody in here, guess what? God made you with a free will, and you know what? Y'all are adult people. So you got to make decisions about your relationship with technology and where you draw your boundaries. I'm not even going to throw rocks at you if your boundaries aren't exactly like mine, but you need to, every once in a while, just go through your text and look for evil communication. You need to look at the use of your technology in light of Bible principles and say, am I breaking some of God's principles and commands in the use of my technology? Gentlemen, ladies, protect your marriage. Protect your marriage. Protect your marriage. Okay, if you're a man in here and you've had ongoing communication with any other woman that's not your wife, your daughter, your mother, your sister, then you need to stop. Ladies, you need to stop. I didn't have a chance to cover this. Maybe we will some other time, but in my book, on Cheryl's book on femininity, five heart gates. You need to study that. Listen, ladies, you are more susceptible to words than your husband is. There's five heart gates. There's five ways that enticers get into the heart of a married woman or a young lady. And you better understand what those five are. And four of them have to do with words. Words that can pop on a screen, words that can come across on a device. I wish I had more time. Say, "Preacher, you're kind of passionate about this." Matter of fact, you were borderline mean today. I'm the one that's doing collateral damage. If you dealt with what I've had to deal with in the last 12 years, you'd be mean about it too. "Preacher, I think you're just, I don't know if I'd go as far as you." I am not sure you shouldn't go farther. Okay? But draw solid lines of protection around you and your family. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to teach on these things. Lord, bless the service that will follow in Jesus' name. Amen.